Good morning. Welcome to each one that's here this morning. Looks like we have a front row packed full of little people that want to have a memory verse. So y'all want to come up and have your verse? Thank you. Okay, are there any announcements this morning? Okay, if not, I think we want to announce our visitation evening for this evening. So there will be no church. Let's make use of the evening. Also thought we might make a little announcement here regarding Darla. She was taken back to the Oklahoma City area, to Edmond, to Integris Hospital again this week. And things are really not looking very good with her. It seems like she's not improving, and she's been expressing her desire to just go home to heaven, really. So I think we need to just keep her in our prayers, keep the family in our prayers, keep Wilbert, his children. It's not been easy there. So let's remember them, reach out to them, support them. Don't know for sure what the immediate future holds here, but we know that the Lord knows, and so we just want to help them however we can. We have a wedding engagement announcement this morning too. Our sister Sheila Kane is engaged to be married. She is engaged to Richard Moss from the Goltry congregation, so we're pretty enthused about that. Sheila, do you have anything to share with us?
I'm just so thankful for God's leading in this, and I words can't express how richly blessed I feel. I'm just asking for your prayers.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's exciting. They're planning to have their wedding on July 19. So that will be July 19. So I think let's do that. Let's remember them in prayer too and enthused for them. Okay, we're thankful that Minister Darrell Lance from Fort Sumner is here with us this morning, along with his family. And we'll look to him for the message this morning. So let's be praying for the service. There'll be liberty for one of you brethren to have the introduction if you have something on your hearts. I think we're ready to start with the song.
Morning, let's take gospel hymns. Sing number 5. Number 5, joyful, joyful, we adore thee.
Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the Good morning. It's a blessing to be here this morning with you. I want to share a little bit with you from last week. I must say that last week I was on what you might say the struggle bus. Seemed like if it wasn't one thing bothering me, it was another. And I was really struggling. And I just couldn't figure out what was going on. And yesterday morning I got up and in my thinking and wondering, all of a sudden the Lord gave me this song. It's 428 in the hymnal. It's Take Time to Be Holy. And as soon as the title hit, I knew what was going on. I want to read this song to us here this morning. It says, Take time to be holy, speak oft with the Lord, abide in Him always, and feed on His word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct, His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let Him be thy guide, and run not before Him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in His word. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul, each thought and each motive beneath His control. Thus led by His Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above. This part here of in joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord, seems like where I fail is when I get in these places, I forget to call on the Lord right away. And I just go on, and I might pray a little bit, but I'm not fully committed to bringing God into the middle of my problems and my struggles. And it's been a good reminder from the Lord for me to do that. And I also wanted to read the verse that goes along with that song. And it's in Leviticus 20, verse 7. It says, Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We are thankful to be in your house this morning. Lord, just be with us that we can have open hearts, that we can take your word, just be it the one to speak, give him calmness of heart. Just be with us here this morning as we receive your blessing. Just be with us as the remainder of the day, so that we can be with you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take time to be holy, speak off with thy Lord. Thy friends and thy home.
Morning to each one here. You know, it's kind of maybe a paradox. We visit like this as ministers, and we know that this is what's going to happen. And God is faithful. He gives a message. So we get up here and we're nervous, and yet at the same time, it truly is a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to stand in this place because this is where God wants me, and because He has given a message for us this morning. It's not my message, it's God's message. We studied this morning about the gospel, about the good news of salvation, about how it is within us. Isn't that in itself a miracle, that God has put His gospel? He has taken this amazing gospel of truth and put it inside of me and inside of you. It's in your heart. You live it. We're human. We don't live anything. I mean, you know, we're human. We don't live this gospel perfectly. We cannot. But it's perfect in Him. We heard this morning, here right after Sunday school, these young children said that verse. And you did a very, very good job of that too. Draw nigh to God. And here's the promise. He will draw nigh to you. It's not draw nigh to God and then see what happens. It's draw nigh to God. And He will draw nigh to you. He will come close. It's up to me to let Him, but He will. He will come, like we said, He'll come right down, right here into my heart. In Fort Sumner there, last Sunday, we sang a song, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. And that is the inspiration on my heart this morning about our faith and about how we live our faith. I was also reading somewhere, and through that article I was reading, this question came to my mind. And I would like to ask it here this morning, and each one of us, if we could ask that, this question of ourselves. Do I know why I believe what I believe? Do I really know why I believe? If I would meet someone who was atheist or agnostic, did not believe that there was a God, and he was very strong in his communication of that, of trying to convince me, do I know why I believe what I believe. Where does that question take you in your heart? What avenues of thought? It would just be interesting to know. Where each one of us are so different. God made us different. He wants us to be different. He enjoys our differences. He uses our differences. And He wants us to accept our differences. He wants me to accept who He has made me to be. And He wants you to accept who He made you to be. We cannot be someone else. And God doesn't want us to be someone else. He wants us to be who we are, in the place we are, in our lives. Let's turn to 1 Peter. First Peter, the first chapter. Start reading here at verse 3. And yeah, I just ask an interest in your prayers. You know, we head into a message like this, and we may have thought about it for however long before, and yet it seems like God always throws a few curveballs in there and takes us down a line of thought we didn't know we were going to go down. So we'll just see where God leads us this morning. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's stop there for a moment, because this verse, in a sense, it encapsulates, or it's kind of a preview of the subject this morning. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it talks here about His abundant mercy has begotten us again. Or we could say, through that abundant mercy, we are born again into a living hope. Lively here means living. So into a living hope. We're born again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Right there is our complete hope. It's our complete, there's the gospel in a verse. We are born again into hope, to a living hope, into life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We weren't born again through His death. We were born again through His resurrection. And He wants us to live, how do we say this? He wants us to live a life that's alive, a living life. Let's just keep reading here. Verse 4, to an inheritance corruptible. So we're begotten again. We're born again to this living hope and to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We'll stop there again for a bit. So we're born again through Jesus, through his resurrection, through his love. We're born again to this. He's given us this inheritance. He's given us this life. And the life he gives is perfect. That life of salvation within me. And it says we are kept by the power of God. But here we come to faith. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And then it talks about the joy. Peter talks about the joy here that he wants you and me to have. This joy unspeakable. Greatly, he says, greatly rejoice. Verse 7, he talks about that. Well, he talks about our life, that it would be found to praise and honor. Verse 8 is where he speaks of that joy unspeakable and full of glory. So that's what God wants. That is God's desire for you and me, to live joy, to live our life living for him. If we don't know God, if we don't accept him, we're living a dead life. But when I know Jesus, when I have him in my heart, I'm living an alive life. So we are kept by the power of God through faith. So then this question comes, where is my faith? Who does my faith, or what does my faith look up to? This song, that title says, my faith looks up to thee. To God, to this Savior God who saves me, who forgives me. If we keep reading, drop down to verse 13 in this chapter. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So let's pause there for a bit. It talks here about obedience. And it talks about our former life, those former desires that we had. If I have not accepted God, then I'm living by my own desires. And to become God's child, we had to accept that. Maybe as young children, as many of us were, we hardly knew what those desires were. And that was okay. And yet now as we grow more mature, we get older, and we realize more and more what those fleshly desires are. And it can be the whole range of the world. We're each different, like we talked earlier. And so each one of us will have the thing or things. Well, I believe every one of us has more than one thing we're tempted with. But we all have the things that we're tempted with, that where the world attracts me. And that doesn't make any of us better or worse than the other. But I do need to, in each of those cases, in each of those areas in my heart, I need to, not just I need to, I must surrender those to God. as obedient children, it says. It talks here about, in verse 13, to gird up the loins of your mind. Get our hearts, our minds, ready for work. Ready to do what God asks us to do. Ready to follow where He leads. Ready to fight the devil. You know, sometimes we feel like, well, if I'm in this temptation or I'm struggling with this thing, we're almost ashamed of that. Or maybe we are ashamed of it, not almost. We're ashamed that we're struggling with this. Well, let's accept that we're human. We're going to struggle with things in our lives. That's a given. God is not disappointed because I'm struggling with an issue in my life, like we heard in the opening here. God is not disappointed if we're struggling. He knows we're going to struggle. He knows that we're human. He created us. And so if I'm struggling, that tells me that my heart is set on God, because otherwise I wouldn't struggle. I would just go off and do it. But now the devil wants me, but my eyes, my heart is set on God. Let's not be discouraged. Let's not be ashamed if I have a struggle in my heart and in my life. Then we know which area to watch. We know which area to give to God. We know how to pray. We know where to go. You know, God, that is what He wants. He just wants us to come to Him with that struggle, with that burden. So let's gird up our loins. That doesn't mean we're weak. That doesn't mean that there's something wrong with us. That means we're ready. That means that we understand the battle. We understand the truth, that God is all powerful, that He is my answer. But He's not going to take away my choice. So let's choose. Let's choose Him and hope to the end for the grace. And then we go to this part of being holy. How many of you believe that you're holy? How many of you feel holy, like you're a holy person? Is it okay with you to say, I'm a holy person? Could you with a clear conscience say that? You know, David, King David, the Bible says of him that he was a man after God's own heart. Can you say in your mind and in your heart, I am a man or a woman after God's own heart? I believe that God wants us to say that. He wants us to know that through His grace and His salvation, I am a man after God's own heart. It is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If God is in me, I'm holy, right? It doesn't mean I'm a wonderful person now. I'm a perfect person. Absolutely not. But it does mean that I accept the salvation of God. I accept the grace of God. I believe the grace of God. So I'm holy. God is in me. Verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear or respect to God. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by whom do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Verse 17. It says that God judges according to every man's work. Verse 18 says that we know we aren't redeemed, we aren't forgiven by corruptible things, silver and gold and those kind of things. And then it also goes on to say those vain the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. And I don't know for sure what all that means, but this is a thought that came to me, and I'm just going to leave it. In our Sunday school this morning, we talked about how do we live the gospel? How do we portray the gospel that is entrusted to us? We talked about the comfort. That one question talked about the comfort of our culture, being comfortable. Are we too comfortable in our culture? I don't know if that's what this is talking about. But in our own Christian lives, you know, we can't portray the gospel of God to others if I'm not living it in myself. Do I become too comfortable in the culture that we grow up in? To where that becomes my faith. If our culture, our growing up, our upbringing, our church is where my faith is, I can't portray the gospel to others. So our good works, our efforts, is that what Peter is saying here, that, you know, that doesn't save us either. We know that. I'm not saying anything new here at all. But it just kind of inspired me here. Here in verse, or earlier in the chapter, it talked about leaving those former things, those former desires, or former life. And in here it says, neither is your salvation through your upbringing, we could just say. Our everyday life. And then it goes in to say, but with the precious blood of Christ, it brings it back to this point where God is everything. Our good works. When the Bible speaks of works, and I don't know that this is fact, but this is what inspires me. When the Bible speaks of working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, when the Bible speaks about the good works, doing good things, good works, is that work really surrender to God? Is that all that God asks of me, is to surrender? Is that the good works that he's wanting me to do? Not helping my brother or helping my neighbor, or seeing all these needs. But is it surrender? And then when my heart is filled with Jesus, when my heart is filled with his love, with him, then I will see the things that I can do, but it won't be my good works. Now it's God. It's just me living with my heart set on Jesus, with my heart understanding that he is my salvation, that he is everything, he is truth. He who was already there before the foundation of the world. So then this last verse we read, verse 21, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead talking of Jesus, of course, and gave him glory. And then it says that your faith and hope might be in God. Where is your faith this morning? Who or what is your faith looking up to? Is it looking up to God? In 2 Corinthians, maybe we'll just read a few verses there. 2 Corinthians 5. Starting at verse 4, 2 Corinthians 5, 4. These are kind of some, I don't know, deep or hard to understand, and I don't claim to understand these verses exactly. Paul is, he tended to write that way, it seems like. It's a little harder to understand. 2 Corinthians 5, 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, and the tabernacle is in this earthly body, is what it's talking about here. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of his spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Stop there. So this covering that God gives, it talks here of the earnest of the Spirit, and this is looking forward, but God has given us a down payment, we could say, of his Spirit. He has given us this clothing of his Spirit, of himself. And that just inspired me, thinking of faith, thinking of who or where I want to place my faith, and then to think here that God would take me, or just you, exactly for who you are, where you are, your personality, your tendencies in life, your temptations, your struggles, that he comes to us where we are. And when we are surrendered, he clothes us. It says that our groaning, our cry, the cry of our heart, is that mortality, just this earthly life, could be swallowed up of life. And so God brings peace to us. He brings peace to me and to you, and he gives us his Spirit, and his Spirit is truth. And so we are clothed with God. We're clothed with his beauty, with his perfection, with his holiness. We're clothed with that. And we can be confident, yes, we're here in this earthly life, we're here in this body, but God is our clothing. God is our holiness. God is our perfection. And so we are confident. We walk by faith, not by sight. But that is our choice. It is my choice. It is your choice to walk by faith. Not saying, look at the good things I've done. Look at the things I've left behind. If my faith is based on those things, it's dead. It's just earthly. It's mortal. But when I say, I am holy because Jesus forgave me, and that's it. And I'm okay with being that kind of a person that just takes his gift, his salvation, his clothing, and just says, that's who I am, and I'm okay with that. I'm just going to walk in that day by day. I know that God will lead me where He wants me to go. I know that if I start going off in a direction He doesn't want me to go, He will tell me and pull me back, or not pull me, lead me. God doesn't drive, God doesn't pull, He leads. And I can accept that God meets me wherever I am. He meets me in the middle of my temptation. He meets me when I have fallen to that temptation, and I have been so bitter at my brother or sister, or I have been angry. Well, it's not called anger, it's sin. But my anger has caused me to hurt someone. Or whatever it is, God meets me right there in that mud puddle, and He leads me back to Him, to the joy that He wants me to live. If my faith is in that, I will live joyfully. I will have hope. I will have a living hope. It will be a living faith. If my faith is in my ability to follow, if my faith is in my all the activity I do for God, then when I stumble and I fall, that's where I am. Because now I don't have faith, because it's not, I can't do that. I can't pull myself out of that miry hole. Even the ability to, have that faith is a gift from God. Even the faith itself is a gift. So it really comes down to this choice, doesn't it? Am I willing to be that, to be a person, to be so small and so weak and so broken that He's my only hope? Am I willing to just be that person? You know, just thinking of that, being broken. There's that nursery rhyme. The Humpty Dumpty. Are you willing to be Humpty Dumpty? He had a great fall. He was this person, we don't know what he was, egg maybe, I don't know. But he was on this wall, and he fell, and he just splattered over into a million pieces. All the king's men and all the king's horses couldn't put him together. All the wisdom and all the strength of this world. There's no way to put us back together when we're fallen, when we're broken. But there is someone who can, and someone who does. Gathers all those pieces and puts us back together if we let Him. That's who died for us, our Savior. So when I'm willing to be Humpty Dumpty and willing to be put together, you know, and when He puts us together, we aren't this beautiful egg anymore, perfectly shaped. There's cracks, you know, there may be a hole, a part that wasn't needed, gets left out. You know, that's where His love shines in. We must be broken. We must live that way. And then it's Him living in me. Then it's Him shining out of me. Then my life is His life. And it's His beauty. And it's His strength. And it's not me. And my faith looks up to Him. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we bow to You together here this morning. Lord, You have spoken about faith this morning, and You have spoken to every heart here. We don't know what the others have heard, We don't know what each other has heard, how you have spoken, but we do know what we heard in our hearts. And may we just take that part, that morsel, large or small, and go forward. And may we live in faith, with our faith looking to you, not to ourselves, not to our broken self, but to our God, you, who is whole, who is beautiful, who is strong, who is love. And may we just rest in you and in your love. Rest in our brokenness and in your wholeness. And our faith will look up to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take our hymnal and sing that song, 453, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. 453.
No, my faith looks up to Thee, Thou.
This service, we thank you, Lord, that you are God. We thank you that you have called us each one and that you have a place for us. And Lord, help us to just have a renewed vision of your grace, of your love, of your plan, and that we can stand before you, that we can be used by you, Lord, that we can just simply be what you would have us to be. Just go with us, each one. I'm thinking now, too, of Richard and Sheila, Lord, we pray that you would just continue to bless them as you lead them forward. Thinking also of Darla this morning. Pray that you would be with her, especially draw near to her. Be with Wilbert. Lord, give him strength just simply for each moment, each hour. And lead them, be with their family. Just be with us all, Lord. Help us to just to follow. Help us to love you with our whole hearts in our imperfect way, that we can live for you, that someday we can be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.